Ephesians 5, verses 22 and 23. Wives, submit you to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. I had mentioned verses 22 and 23. I went on to verse 25. Considering this whole section really is from verses 22 through 33. And it's going to be about the Spirit-filled life. In particular, the Spirit-filled marriage. One of the most neglected aspects of our walk with the Lord is the necessity for every child of God to be filled with the Spirit. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit in verse 18 of Ephesians 5, where it said, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Command. Be filled with the Spirit is the only way we can ever hope to be Christ-like in our daily walk. When we're filled with the Spirit, we will display the fruit of the Spirit. The characteristics that set Jesus Christ apart from the rest of the world will be dominant in our lives. Characteristics like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That will describe us, that will mark us. That is the food of the Spirit. And they will transform every relationship in our lives. As I said, this section begins about being Spirit-filled in verse 18, being filled with the Spirit, and then it deals with different areas of our worship, of our marriages, and on and on. In verses 19 and 20, they teach us that being filled with the Spirit affects our worship. 19 and 20. Speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart, giving thanks always for all things to God our Father. Spirit-filled life. It'll affect our worship. When we're Spirit-filled, we'll see God as he is, and we will give him the worship and the praise that is due him. Being Spirit-filled will transform our relationship with God. Being filled with the Spirit transforms our way of thinking so that we do not place ourselves ahead of each other, as we see in verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. You only can submit, brothers and sisters, to one another if you're Spirit-filled. It's the only way. So that we don't place ourselves ahead of others. So that we walk in humility and mutual submission. The Holy Spirit controls the life. The Holy Spirit controlled life will not only revolutionize our walk with God, it will also revolutionize our relationships with others, with every relationship. Marriages, the workplace, church life. Beginning in verse 22, as we have our text today, Paul begins to flesh out this thought. And in the verses that follow, he'll walk us through some of the most important relationships that we have in life. He begins by talking about a Spirit-filled marriage. No matter how great your marriage is today, there is always room for improvement. There is always a place for us to give God more control in our relationship with our spouse. The fact is, we can all use the teaching in these verses. Because as goes the home, so goes the church. Did you ever think the reason why that the church is so weak today is because the home is so weak? As goes the home, as goes the church, goes the nation. It's imperative that our marriages be all that God designed them to be. And this passage has something to say about that. Some time ago, it was written about a couple. They celebrated their 50th wedding. They were in their 70s. Ted, the husband, had lost much of his hearing during this time. And yet they were still getting along together and celebrating this great anniversary. Their family came from all over, enjoyed celebrating together through the mid-morning into the afternoon. Finally, towards sundown, as the family went home, Bessie and Ted decided to walk out on the front porch and sit down on the swing and watch the sunset. The old gentleman pulled his tie loose and leaned back and didn't say much. Bessie looked at him somewhat in wonder and said to him, "You know, Ted, I'm real proud of you." The old gentleman turned and looked at her rather quizzically, and after a moment said, with a puzzled look on his face, "Well, Bessie, I'm real tired of you, too." Sadly, far too many marriages reach that same place. The husband and wife just get tired of one another. They go their separate ways. But that is not God's ideal for marriage. God wants marriages to be strong. Strong. He wants them to last. He wants them to be a reflection of His relationship with His redeemed people. He wants them to bring glory to His name. And the question is that true of you if you're married? And this not only applies to marriage, brothers and sisters, if you're listening and you're single, this is relationships across the board. Across the board. Family members, co-workers, neighbors, fellow people in the church. God wants His people to be spirit-filled and to be strong and to be faithful. Let's begin to look a little closer at a strong marriage. First of all, the Lord is mentioned in these verses 14 times in this section that I spoke about. Not just the two verses I mentioned in the beginning, but this whole section. 14 times. In Psalm 127:1, the scripture says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain at building. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." This verse teaches us the truth that every endeavor in life must be based on a relationship with God. That's why I just said, brothers and sisters, this is not just husbands and wives. This is all of our relationships with all kinds of people. But is especially true when it comes to marriage. If they're to be strong, if they're to glorify God, if they're to be a blessing to us and to others, they must be built on the bedrock of a strong and a serious relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As His love of Christ, operates in the heart of a husband and wife, the married couple is better able to love one another. I'm able to love my life better today than I could before I knew the Lord. My love is deeper, stronger, and purer because I'm able to love her with His love. With His love. People in love with Jesus are able to be channels through which His love can flow to those around us. Realize this, being rightly related to the Lord Jesus Christ brings a divine dimension to the marriage. A divine dimension. When both the husband and wife are in a vital, growing relationship with the Lord, first of all, they can pray together. Unbelievers can't do that. They don't have no desire to. Nor can they come into the throne room boldly of grace and mercy because they're not saved. Only people that are saved can come into the throne room of grace and mercy. Marriage, praying together. Married couple praying together. Not only can they pray together, they also can worship together. Lifting holy hands together, singing songs together, worshiping at services together. Loving the Lord together, worshiping together. They can discuss the things of God together. 40, 50, 60 years, imagine, outside of Christ. Just talking about the current news events of the day. Talking about finances, talking about houses and cars and vacations and everything. No depth. No depth in the discussion. Decades and decades and decades just talking about the world. But when two believers are together, they can day by day discuss the things of God. They can wake up together day by day and speak of God, pray together, worship together, study together, listen to sermons together, read books together, discussing the things of God together, blessing each other with the wisdom that each possesses. Beautiful thing. I'm married for over 30 years to a spirit-filled woman. It's a beautiful thing. Worshiping together, discussing the things of God together, growing together, praying together, loving together. Believers in the Lord, spirit-filled, have a mutual relationship with God, and that moves their own relationship beyond the physical into the spiritual. The world, basically, all they know is about the physical. Physical, nothing spiritual. And the spirit-filled couple, their love is stronger, purer, and more enduring than it could ever be otherwise. Because it's built around Christ. As most of us probably know, 50% of all marriages in the West fail. Many fall apart during the stormy times of life. And I'm 62 years old, and I'm here to tell you, stormy times come. Stormy times come, and they come, and they come, and they come, and they come. Things like debt and lust, the day-to-day business of life, loss of interest in the other partner, and a host of other things can bring marriages to disaster. No marriage, not even a Christian marriage, are immune from these upheavals. However, a marriage that stands on the bedrock of a strong relationship with Jesus Christ can weather any storm that would come along. Luke 6, beginning in verse 47. See, right here, I'm going to Luke 6, verses 47 to 49. Now, when the storms in life come, I can say to my wife, beloved, let's turn to Luke 6, 47 to 49. And let's see what the Lord says about this situation. Death, disaster, destruction, sickness. Verse 47, Luke 6. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them. You come to Christ, you hear what Christ has to say, and then you do them. I'll show you whom he or she is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house. And it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation. You're building apart from Christ. Against which the stream beat vehemently and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. See, a marriage founded on a rock can survive the storms of life. A marriage and other relationships not founded on a rock, when the storms come, those relationships fall apart. As I said, first and foremost in marriage, than in every other relationship that you have. Marriages in which both partners are not saved can and do last for many years. And that is a wonderful thing. Still, those marriages can never achieve the spiritual purposes that God has for marriage. The marriage is real and the love deep, but it can never be everything that God designed marriage to be. It's apart from Christ. You have two people that are together and they're not spirit-filled, nor do they even know the Lord. So all the relationship can be based around is the world. As I said, we're going to do quite a few studies here in this section. I want to continue today's study by looking at the first characteristic of a strong marriage. These are things that are absolutely essential. I want to today take the time to just look at the first one. Essential. Has to be there. Pillar in this house for a strong spiritual marriage. Let us look at the first thing, love. Love. Agape love. That's, agape love is unconditional. Ephesians 5, 25 and 28. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, gave herself for. Verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. When we speak of love, brothers and sisters, as children of God, we are not talking about the kind of love that's portrayed in Hollywood. Movies and television depict love as nothing more than sexual desire. While the sexual relationship within the context of marriage is very important, even though it is very important, even if it flows from a deeper, more spiritual kind of love. Look at Ephesians 1, chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Look at, now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise, also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fast and to prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. See, right there, he's showing you that marriage is more than just sexual relationship. Relationship, sexual relationship, and marriage, very important. It's telling you right there, don't withhold from each other. Don't withhold from each other. But yet, here they are, separating for a time of prayer and fasting. Coming together again so the Satan doesn't tempt you. So it's not that Christians are against sexual union or enjoying sex. But sex is not the end and of the ending of everything in and of itself. The spiritual aspect is first. Paul describes the kind of love that we're talking about in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 6. This is the kind of love we're talking about in a marriage. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 6. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. See, now that, brothers and sisters, is much different than the love that's portrayed in Hollywood. The love, quote-unquote, that's portrayed in Hollywood is nothing but lustful passion. And not that there's anything wrong with lusting one another in the Lord. Married in the Lord. Men and women married in the Lord. The Lord created our bodies to enjoy sex within the marriage relationship in the context of marriage. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 7 that we looked at, he says, wait a second, don't withhold each other now. Give your bodies to each other, enjoy yourselves in the Lord and the marriage bed. And you can even separate for a season, for a little while, for prayer and for fasting, and then come join back together. Because love is much deeper than just a sexual relationship. As I just read to you in 1 Corinthians 13, love suffers long. That word means patient endurance, even when provoked, long-tempered. Love does not retaliate. See? It endures when it's provoked and it's long-tempered. It doesn't lash out at the spouse. It's kind. That word refers to active goodness. It's never hateful or mean. It's kind in words and actions. You don't talk to each other in negative ways. You talk in love. And envy is not. True love is not jealous. Oh, you got a promotion, I didn't. You make more than I do. And it goes on and on and on. True love is not jealous. Instead of being jealous when others prosper or excel, love is pleased when they do well. You rejoice for your spouse to do well. It vaunts not itself. Literally, that phrase means it doesn't make a parade. Love does not brag. Oh, I'm this, I'm that. You're not this, you're not that, you never will be. It doesn't draw attention to itself or to what it is doing. It's lifting up the other one. It's not all about you. It's about your spouse. And once again, I'm going to say, if you're single, listen to this. This goes across the board. This is just not in marriages. Love is not puffed up. It's not arrogant. It's not proud. It doesn't demand to be number one. I got to have things my way. It's my will or the highway. I'm what this world is all about. It's all about me. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. Love is not rude. It treats others with compassion and consideration and respect. Love seeks not its own. True love is not selfish, self-centered. It's actively interested in what will profit others. It doesn't look at itself first. Love is always considerate of others ahead of itself. It's not easily provoked. True love keeps no record of evils done to it. That's why don't ever, ever, if I would teach you anything today, don't ever go to bed angry with your spouse or fighting with your spouse or would deal with this tomorrow. Deal with it right now. Get that chalkboard clean of any charges. One of the things I do with my wife every now and then is say, beloved, do you have any charges? Is there any charges against me? Keep the accounts, brothers and sisters, very short. True love keeps no record of evils done. Willingly embraces and endures all slights and injuries. It's not irritable. It's not irritable. It thinks no evil, takes no worthless inventory. Genuine love does not attribute evil motives to people. Genuine love does not keep a record of evils done to it. It doesn't hold a grudge. And it rejoices not in iniquity. Love does not rejoice in sin. And lastly, it rejoices in the truth. It rejoices when truth is proclaimed, and when truth wins the victory, love is glad for the truth. Even when the truth hurts. There's many of you listening today. I'm sure the truths that are being spoken have hurt. Because you say to yourself, that's not me. Well, that's not my spouse. But the good news is you can repent and your spouse can repent. And if you're single, you can repent in your relationships with others. Love rejoices in the truth. Rejoices not in iniquity. Love thinks no evil, is not even easily provoked, it seeks not its own, it does not behave itself unseemly, it's not puffed up, it vaunted not itself, it envieth not, it's kind, and it suffers long. And this kind of love, brothers and sisters, that I'm speaking of, is to be mutual. The husband is commanded to love his wife with every fiber of his being. You talk about a high calling, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. Wow, what a plumb line. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That's only possible if you're filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's why you command to be filled with the Spirit. 5:28. Husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Love as Christ loved the church. Love your wife as you love your own body. Verse 31, for this reason a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Brothers and sisters, you are one flesh. You fighting with your spouse, you might as well just be standing in front of the mirror punching yourself in the face. If the two are truly one, that in reality is what you're doing. But you're punching each other with your tongues. Fighting. Scrapping with each other. It's not a spirit-filled life, brothers and sisters. The wife is commanded to love her husband. The husband is commanded to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and a home that is filled with that kind of love basically is a home that is filled with heaven itself. The husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands. And everything. The husband, head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church. Brothers and sisters, we're to take these commands of God very seriously. I said to you earlier, 62 years in the ministry, over 30 years, I have seen a whole lot of wreckage in marriages. And I've also seen a whole lot of success. And if you would have a successful marriage, you need to be filled with the Spirit. And love that spouse. And understand that spouse is a gift from Almighty God. For every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. That spouse you have, brothers and sisters, is a gift from God Almighty. Count your blessings. If you need to repent, and repent today and honor that spouse, lift up that spouse, bless that spouse. If you be listening today and you're not a child of God, the things that I mentioned, they are impossible for you. You can't live a spirit-filled life in a spirit-filled marriage because you're not possessing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in you because you're not born again. You haven't been made alive. The kind of marriage I'm talking about is only possible with people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. Before you can ever love your wife that way, or the wife love the husband that way, you have to first love Christ that way. You need to be born again. Whosoever will, come. Come to Christ today for salvation, and you will be saved. And may we, Father, live spirit-filled lives and spirit-filled marriages. And may the fragrance of that spirit-filled life go throughout our relationships, outside the home, in the neighborhood, in the church, on the job, in every relationship that we're in. May we be spirit-filled lovers of men and women throughout the world. And Father, we know it's only possible if you would grant that to us In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen.